Hey, welcome everyone to Superhost Unveiled. I'm really excited because I get to chat with some really good friends of mine, Becky and Bobby Barrett, out of, well, their home, their Airbnb is in Branson, Missouri, and they have just a really good story about how they got started, brand new to them. They're not even Superhost yet, but they're well on their way. And we're going to talk about their struggles, not having Wi-Fi for their first guest, and everything else that went along to it. And there's some really cool takeaways. One is how much painstaking time they spent picking out a mattress, but I think it's a really good point. So hope you enjoy the episode with Becky and Robert Barrett.
Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter, Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
All right, welcome everybody to Superhost Unveiled. I'm really excited to have some old but super awesome friends of mine, Robert, I don't call him Bobby, and Becky Barrett. How you guys doing this morning?
We're good.
Doing well.
Can I qualify that old statement? We've known you a while. We're not actually old.
I'm old, not you. I was just talking about me. And also, we have the privilege of having my wife, Julia, on the show today. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
And, you know, I remember when we asked you about coming on, you're like, I don't know, you know, like we just got started and, you know, we're not even Superhost yet, but I think it's really good for our listeners to hear a story about someone who just launched a brand new Airbnb and it is on their quest to becoming a Superhost, you know, and I think that's important as while it's fresh in your minds. And I'm glad you guys are, I twisted your arm enough to have you come on today.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to do so.
All right. So let's talk about you guys. So maybe give our listeners just an explanation of what you do and your real jobs, quote unquote, and why you decided to get into Airbnb at all in the first place and where you're from.
Yeah. So it's Bob Barrett. We're from Republic, Missouri. It's Springfield, Missouri area, Southwest Missouri. You know, I do have a, I don't do this full time. I work for a technology company and I'm in finance over there. Been in finance for 15 plus years. So that's what we do during the day. I'm also a pastor. I've been pastoring a church for the last 11 years as well, a small country church. And we love that. And Becky helps me with that too. We're both ordained ministers in that way as well. And I'll let Becky take a minute and kind of explain what she does. And then we can tell you kind of why, you know, we chose the Airbnb in the area.
Yeah. So I left my, I did mental health therapy counseling for several years and I left that probably about 6 years ago. And so I'm a stay at home mom full time and I homeschool our four kids and run them all over the places. We got kiddo who dances, kiddo who rides and jumps horses. We got a wrestler and one who loves to take all the things apart and put them back together again. So pretty busy with that, but.
That's awesome. How old are they? What are the ranges of ages?
Well, we're in the midst of birthday season. So our youngest just turned 7 and then we go all the way up to 13. She'll be 14 in January. So.
Yeah. So is it 7, 8, 10? 13.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That'll keep you busy.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And it begs the question, why the heck are you doing this then in the first place?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think there's lots of good answers to that, you know, and I always look at the management side of it and watching, you know, just the opportunity or the privilege to be able to teach our kids business principles, whether it's the financial aspect of, okay, this is how you run a business or you budget or you manage the money or that kind of thing, or guest relations, this is how we treat customers, or this is how you're always presenting yourself to them. That's a big part of business. And then even the nitty gritty dirt work of, okay, let's go scrub toilets really, really well. This is how you clean a shower after someone else has been it for a week, or, you know, those kinds of things. So I think that has been good and interesting all at the same time, you know. And when we first started and we were, I was teaching my kid how to use an Excel sheet and how to enter all the receipts so we can have a good idea of what we've been spending to invest into our home. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then we just just how we got there in general, we're just kind of lake lovers. And, you know, I grew up on the lake and we're like, hey, it'd be cool to have a lake property. I don't know if we were searching so much for like, hey, we want to build, you know, an Airbnb empire, but it seemed like the right fit at the time and something that we could enjoy, but also, produce some income and stuff. And then it just kind of evolved from there, I think. So that's how we initially got into it.
I think we've always talked about it. It's always been a dream out there somewhere for us, you know, as probably as long as I can remember. But being able to actually grab it and do it has been pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's all. That is fantastic. Congratulations. So how far are you guys from your property?
We're about 50 minutes. From our property.
Nice. I'm guessing most people, even me, way out here on the East Coast, I've actually been to Branson in a past life. And I think a lot of people know Branson. You know, it's a very tourist destination, right?
Yeah.
And is that why, like, there's plenty of lakes, right? I'm guessing in Missouri that are close to you. Like, but is that what drew you to Branson specifically? Was this seems like it'll be a great market. How did you guys did you research it at all?
We've been going to the lake. I used to nurse all my babies on the boat. Like, we've been going to the lake for a long time. And so we just know Branson. And we see the influx in the summer. And, I don't want to say the culture is changing, but it's almost becoming more and more revived and kind of more up to date, I guess. But it's close. You know, we do have other lakes near us, but it's a place that we frequent often. So as far as a management standpoint, to have eyes on the property and being, you know, would go down there. We know the area, we know people down there. I think for me that I like to control things. So having that aspect where I could see and, be near something that we're investing so much into.
Yeah. And I think too, just kind of, you know, as we've been down there for years and years, we see it continue to grow and grow. And then there's like articles that come out in like realestate.com and it says like, hey, Table Rock Lakes, one of the top 50 lakes, you know, in the country that you can, you know, that you can buy into, like one of the great. And so you see the values continue to go up. You see a bigger influx of folks every year and you see them investing into the infrastructure. And it's just kind of like, yeah, I think this is going to be a good thing. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a good place to own a property and you're going to see appreciation over time.
So maybe if you could take us through, can you just tell us like, what you can expect going to Branson as a guest if you've never been before?
Yeah, there's lots of hills. It's a beautiful, fun town. There's lots of hills that you can go deeper into Branson and do all the kind of touristy things, whether it's go-kart tracks or they just built a new aquarium. It's beautiful. There's a zoo, there's shopping, you know, there's all those types of things. You could step outside just a little bit and you have walking trails. Dogwood Canyon is pretty popular. There's places to ride horses. There's wineries down there. You could rent a boat. There's a lot of marinas.
Silver Dollar City.
Yeah, Silver Dollar City. Can't forget that. That's we're only 10 minutes from Silver Dollar City, but that's been around forever.
What is Silver Dollar City?
It is my most favorite amusement park, and mostly because it's not just rides, but it's a whole culture, and it's fun and inviting. You know, our kids like to stop and talk to the different craftsmen, whether they're building something with metal or plastic or glass. There's glass blowers there. And then right now they're doing their whole pumpkin fest. So the whole place is covered in all different types of pumpkins and decor and festivals. And it's just really fun.
And they do. So they have a ton of rides, like you would at like a Six Flags, but they also have this big, like a lot of shows too, mm-hmm. and trains, and it's really well done in the sense that there's trees everywhere. You don't feel like you're on an open lot and pavement, so it's hill, you're like walking through the trees, and it's the ambiance is wonderful as well, and people from all over kind of come to go there.
Yep,
that sounds cool. I didn't even know that was down there. For some reason my memory is like these big like Opry type places to go see a country show. Am I like mixing this up with somewhere else, or is that
so they do still have shows, and you know, it draws such a wide crowd. You know, you have young families that come and go do maybe the more adventure type things, and then you have your older crowd too that still enjoys the shows. And there are shows that, you know, cover all age ranges. Sight and Sound does great shows. You know, there are different options.
There's like dinner comedy shows.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do have, you could walk down 76, which is the main strip in Branson, and you will see young families all the way up to, you know, older couples. It's one, I will say, I love our military. Of my favorite things is to walk down that strip and see how many veterans there are, and my kids always go up to them and they're like, thank you for your service. I just really love it. That's probably one of my favorite things about Branson is how it draws veterans, and it's just cool. But total yeah. side.
That's awesome. I remember listening to a podcast a while back, and it was a lady on there who was a multiple home investor and manager. I don't remember exactly what her name, but I do remember her talking about the size of her homes that were like, I don't know, ridiculous and on numbers, like 20, they could sleep 25. They had 20 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms. Is that like normal down there? And why do you think that is? Just do multiple generations go at once, or?
Yeah, so I think part of it is we're so centrally located. So we will have like, so we have a 5-bedroom home. So we don't sleep 20, but we do have some in our neighborhood that do. And, you know, if you go to different parts of the lake, there is that option available. But we are centrally located. And so people will come, friends or family, you know, from Arkansas and Kansas City and Kansas and Illinois, and they kind of just all meet together. Family reunions, friends of ours just actually rented, I don't know how many bedroom house it was.
It was a 12 bed.
A 12
and
bedroom
house. And it slept like over 40. It was
yeah.
insane.
And so they all just gathered in that house for a week. And so when you have, you know, I think they have, there's 5 adult kids and then they have their kids and you gather. And so it's just, Branson's just a family friendly place. And so, yeah, we do have some of those bigger homes, and I think that's why.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to ask, so it seems like it's more of a drive to destination than from all those surrounding areas, more than people fly to Branson, or is it both?
I think to date, I don't think we've had anybody that would really fly in
right.
to go to our place. I do think it lends itself to more driving.
Yeah, flying. We do have, I think the other thing to know is there are some pretty great golf yeah. courses around here. So we get golfers, not us personally, I mean, we'll get there, but golfers will come from around the nation to come play golf at top-notch golf courses around here.
So like Johnny Morris, like the owner of Bass Pro Shops, and he owns a significant portion of Big Cedar as well. He's invested just a ton of money into the area and into kind of the golfing ecosystem, so to speak, to have like world-class, you know, like Tiger Woods has designed golf courses. resources there and other people. So it's really Jack Nicklaus, things like that. It's really kind of well known in the golf community or getting there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us about your property, like why you picked it and kind of what went into you guys choosing that one over a different, did you look at multiples or was it just that one?
So I think this is kind of a funny story. So for a while we were, you know, I was like, you know, I like to browse on like Zillow and places like that.
I think
that.
Browse is a not maybe, the right term. He's always looking at properties. Always.
Yeah. So I've been looking at stuff, and normally I show Becky something and she's like, yeah, but did you think of this? And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. So so we were doing that for a while, and then you actually brought one to my attention.
Yeah, so I never look, like I just have too much on my plate to be looking around at different houses, but I just one day happened to look and it said instant moneymaker, and I was like, sent it to my husband. I was like, haha, look at this. He ended up calling the realtor on that house. And you were looking for Chateau Mountain specifically, right?
Well, I asked about that house. And then when I clicked into it, I saw like all these Chateau Mountain locations. They looked like gorgeous views, but everything was pending. And so I just asked them, I said, hey, do you guys, I see all these are pending. Do you have any that are not pending? And he was like, yeah, he was like, actually, there's a deal that just fell through and I have three available. And I was like, we'll be down to look at it today. And he's like, okay. So we went down.
Well, you got to tell a whole story. So my daughter, she works at the barn, a local barn here. And she loves it. But I get this call from our trainer, and our trainer never calls, you know. So I answer it and she's like, yeah, Jocelyn's just not feeling well. She's really dizzy. And of course I'm like panic mom. Right. And so I'm like, oh, go get her. So I go get her home and she's like, fine, totally fine. And Bobby comes to me. He's like, we're headed to Branson. And so we drive down to Branson and we look at this, you know, where it would be. And Bobby's talking to the realtor and, you know, doing all that business type stuff. And I leaned over to him and I was like, we need to buy this.
Yeah, no, I think you just said it to him. Like we were talking on the way down and we're like, yeah, so we'll talk amongst each other and we'll think about it. And Becky looks at it and she looks at the location. She goes, we'll take it. Like, what?
Just because that's not my nature. That's not. I'm like,
who are you?
I tend to think about all the things that could go wrong, you know, like the what ifs. And I was just like, I knew. Just really felt like the Lord's leading in it. And it was just cool, you know, being able to have all our kids there to look at the property, which we wouldn't have been able to do unless Justin didn't feel well that day. But
totally shocked me, though, her response.
Yeah. So
hilarious. That's awesome. So tell us about it. Like what does it look like? You know, I know it has lake views, which is, it's a beautiful property.
Thank you. Well, we are from New England. And so the coastal theme runs deep into our blood. And so we wanted it to have a coastal feel. So it's actually three different levels. It's a 5-bedroom house. It's got the main floor has one bedroom, but it's open, you know, in the living room, dining room, and kitchen area. It's got two decks that just look out. You have a panoramic view of Table Rock Lake. You get to see the showboat Branson Bell at night when it's all lit up, you know, 4th of July, you see the fireworks over the water. It's just a gorgeous view. It's surrounded by these mountains and trees and all this stuff. So it's really, really pretty. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and when you go all in, you're like, Becky runs the, you know, I want it now. from that point to then, it was in construction, right? If I recall.
Yeah.
So how long did it take before you basically were able to go in there and do your thing?
Too long.
Yeah. So we actually put a contract on it in August, late August, and we did not.
Of 2020.
We did not get the keys till the beginning of July. So it was almost a year.
Yeah. Oh wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, so you get the keys in July, and then when were you able to actually launch the Airbnb?
So we took that first weekend in July, and just had our extended family, Bobby's family, down and kind of did 4th of July there. And I was open with them. I said, hey guys, this is kind of our run through. And I said, tell me, you know, what do you like? What do you don't like? You know, how are the beds comfortable? You know, do I, am I decor wise, am I missing something? You know, we even put them to work. We had just gotten our kitchen chairs in. That's a nightmare story too. But anyway, kitchen chairs had just come in. So they got to put chairs together. And so the weekend after that, we opened it up to our first guests. And that was,
it was kind of our soft open with the family.
Yeah.
Where we're like, yeah, okay, let's figure out everything that.
What did you learn from that? Like, what did you get some good feedback?
I did. Yeah. So my biggest thing was the mattresses. You know, people can overlook something, but if they get a good night's sleep, but if they sleep terribly, then everything else is just, you notice everything else.
Sure.
And so they love the mattresses. They, so that was good. I was like, okay, jackpot. We did good there. They helped me. I feel like they're all more kind of fashionable and trendy than I am. So they were helpful, you know, I needed a rug for the living room, but I wasn't quite sure what I wanted. So they helped me with that, but everything else, I had really
Was like some stuff in the kitchen too, or maybe my mom was like, hey, you might think about getting this or that, you know, just a couple knick-knacky things that would, or not knick-knacky, but just something just that
some
would
kitchen
be helpful.
Tools that some would be helpful. Tools, yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah, so that was, it was good. I was thankful for that opportunity to have them there and just to stay there for a weekend and say, okay, if I were staying here, what would I need? You know?
No, I think it's a great idea. It's something that we did when we first launched our first place. We had my brother and another couple stay. We let them stay for free, obviously. And we got some great positive feedback. You know, I don't remember him. I think we didn't have screen doors at that time. We had to order them. And he brought that up and a couple other things, but that's great. Well, cool. So I was going to say something about that. So I do think doing that was an awesome idea. So the mattresses, can you tell our listeners like which ones you picked?
So part of what we wanted to do and what we try to do is keep things as locally made as possible. So like the coffee that we offer them is locally roasted close to us. And so the mattresses that we picked out were actually, they're made in Joplin, which is not too far from us. And so we worked closely with the mattress company and we laid on a ton of mattresses, a ton. I was like, Mom, I need you to watch the kids again. We're going mattress shopping again. So that actually took a lot longer than I had anticipated or even wanted, but I feel like we hit the jackpot. And so
I think, so the name of the company is Croft Mattresses, and I think they are, I think they do have retail outlets in different parts of the country, but I know they're definitely strong in here. And I think what I found out, I think there's actually like one company that manufactures like all the springs for mattresses, like in the country, like Leggett and Platt. And this guy worked at Leggett and Platt. So that's how he started it up. But like Sealy and all these other companies get their coils from Leggett and Platt pretty much. So it's kind of interesting when you dig into it. Sorry, that's my analytical geek.
I mean, I honestly think that this is awesome what we're talking about, because it shows the level of detail that it takes to execute at a very high level. I think a lot of people just think, well, I can just, you know, list my property tomorrow and everything's going to be fine. But that's short-term thinking. You know, you guys are obviously thinking long-term, because to go into that much intense, you know, detail about a mattress, which is definitely, I 100% agree, like Julie and I talk about anything that's intimate that touches someone's body, is probably the most important thing to put as into your property. You know, so the level of detail you guys put into that, I think says a lot about you as hosts. So I commend you. And I think if the listeners don't take anything else away from this episode, take that away. So what about sheets and all that stuff? Did you guys sweat those as much as you sweated the mattresses?
I did open up a lot of packages and feel a lot of sheets. I think that's something that we're still figuring out. We have something, a store called At Home. I found some bunk room sheets from there that I really, really like. So, you know, as we have to change out or as we take up more properties, you know, those are the ones that I'll go with. I really like having double of everything. So if we have a quick flip, then it's just, you know, throw it on there and move on to something else. You know, I can take laundry home with me if I need to. But yeah, I think I like Target sheets. They have a good set of sheets. But again, trying to balance it, you know, I don't need to spend $100 on sheets. There are some cheaper sheets that feel nice, you know. And when my husband has no idea what I buy as far as sheets, but when he says to me, "Hey, I really like these sheets," I'm like, "Okay, I win."
Yeah, sheets are really kind of an evolving and never-ending search, I feel like, because there's a lot of sheets that I find that I like, but then it's like, do you go with cotton? Do you go with, you know, microfiber? Because, right, you know, because of the wrinkles and it dries faster. But it's like always evolving. I feel like I just keep trying new sheets and, you know, make a mental note of, I like these, I don't like these. And
right,
it's just never ending. I feel like I'm forever dealing with sheets and comforters. And
and I feel like they lie when they say wrinkle resistant.
Oh yeah, they totally do.
He lied to me here.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, if you get it out of the dryer, like the second the dryer stops, then maybe they're wrinkle resistant. But
right.
Yeah. So Becky, are you cleaning the property yourself, you said?
Yeah. So right now I am, and I actually hired my girls to help me also. And so they are learning how to work hard and earn some cash too. But yeah, so right now, as we have one property and, you know, I think we've maybe had just a couple like quick flips. So it hasn't been overwhelming. We've had, you know, a day or two in between to be able to, you know, navigate that and figure that out. But yeah, we've been cleaning it. I'd like to eventually give that up, but you know, it's my face on that property. And so if it's not perfect, you know,
absolutely,
I like control. So, you know, being able to let that go. And I know that I need to, because ultimately my main goal is, you know, our family's still young.
Yeah.
So being able to be there with them and homeschool them and do all that stuff. But it's helpful to know, okay, I need this, or I, you know, whatever. But
yeah. It's good. Even now, when we take on new properties, because I don't clean that much anymore because we do have cleaners, but every time we take on a new property, I insist on cleaning it first myself so that I know I can say, like, when the cleaners have questions, I know where the sheets are, I know where the towels are, I know the house intimately, so I can be, you know, more assistance to the cleaners, but also so that I have intimate knowledge of the property, which I think you only get when you, you know, spend a day there cleaning it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I keep hearing little tidbits of building this into something more than just a one house show, you know, like I keep hearing you hint to, you want to build this into your own property management company. Before we kind of get to that point, so how was your first, like, were you guys on pins and needles before your first guest arrived?
Yeah. And then it got heightened because like 2 or 3 days before they came, we got an email saying that there would be no internet service. And the people who were supposed to have the internet installed, it was probably going to be 4 to 6 month delay.
Oh my gosh.
And so we were like, oh my goodness. So what we did is we called them, or I had emailed them and I said, hey, this is what we were just told. And they knew, like, initially, because there was still some construction going on. So we offered a construction discount to begin with. But we contacted them and we're like, hey, this is the email that we just got. You know, we're so sorry. We apologize. And we comped them a night just because, I mean,
most... we offered, but we're like, you can completely cancel if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, but if you don't, I mean, we'll comp you a night at the very least, because we're not sure we can have internet
right
in there. There's no guarantee, because we were like scrambling at that point. We're like, do we do satellite? And that had its kind of downfalls and, you know, one of our hotspots and stuff like that. So we finally found someone, you know, that could, it's like a hotspot. But you know, it's not perfect. It's not super fast, but it works. You can run the TVs on it and,
yeah,
you know, you can watch stuff and it's unlimited. So we're good for now.
Yeah.
But that's definitely stressful.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to call any more people, any more future, you know,
guests
that are staying. Yeah. I don't want to have that conversation. So
yeah, it's never ending when you grow. I'll tell you that. So anything else that, you know, they agree, I'm sure they didn't cancel. They came. How were you during the stay? Like, did talk about maybe a little bit about, I know that you do have software that's helping you. Bobby, we talked about that a little bit. Are they getting a series of messages leading in? Are you talking to them while they're there? Like, how's that going?
Yeah, so we do use a software management. And so they get messages beforehand, and then right before they leave, they kind of get their exit messages, I guess.
Which those messages come from a lot of Pete feedback.
Listening to Superhost Unveiled. My phone number is there and available. We were in contact with these guests specifically quite a bit, just because we were trying very hard internet down there. But my is available. There was one time a guest, she called me, I think. She was like, hey, the fire alarm keeps beeping. And so, like, you know, we head down there and we fix that. No big deal, but they do have my phone number, and usually they send a text if.
Is there
other person?
I FaceTimed. They came in late and they were having trouble finding our place. I was like, do you have FaceTime? And so I'm like in my pajamas trying to help her to find out which house is ours. But
that's awesome. That's great. Do you guys have an owner's book inside the property? Did you do that or no?
That's on our to-do list.
Okay.
Yeah, we have like a link right now with like a manual.
Okay.
We probably need to actually get a hard copy.
And so how many, you've had about eight guests so far?
Yep.
And are there any?
No, we've had more than that.
More than that. Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. What are you getting, like, repeat questions from guests, or are they, you know, is anything kind of repeating itself? Like,
not that I've noticed. Initially, before we had our professional pictures up, people were asking, you know, is there a hot tub or is there a pool? Those were questions, but everything is up and running pretty smoothly now. So I don't get too many questions where I'm like, oh, this is something that needs to be addressed or answered somewhere else.
Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of what I was getting at, like, to see if there was questions that kept repeating itself. It tells you what you're missing, you know,
right,
in your communication. Has there been any bigger any big challenge other than the Wi-Fi and that one guest not being able to find it?
I would say when we were first opening up, we were just kind of stuff with streaming in about like business licenses and sales tax licenses and all that. So that side of it where, you know, you're trying to get ahead of the curve, but it's a new construction and they're like, well, you can't technically operate without a business license, but you can't get a business license because you don't have the whole division, the whole subdivision's not done. And so that was stressful for like a little bit. And we're like, well, what do you want us to do? You know, we have people coming. I'm like, if you want to turn that tax revenue away, that's, you know, that's
no, they don't.
Up to you. But so it was just getting like, yeah, like, oh, we have to get a service for the fire suppression system. That's what Branson requires. So like little things like that, like requirements that are just kind of popping up at the last minute. Some of that was like, hey, can I have people in this house? this going to be
And
okay?
It's because it is a new construction. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't have those challenges if it were already an established property.
Yeah, but I would say that was definitely a little bit stressful in the beginning.
So it sounds though that the area is vacation friendly, like vacation home friendly. Yes.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Yep, they are very much so.
Awesome. What has been the biggest reward since hosting guests? Like, is there anything from that you're like, wow, I didn't expect this at all?
So I'm going to answer this one because I am down there cleaning. I always look at the guest book, you know, and so I think seeing there's a difference, you know, when they give you a 5-star review, you know, if you look at our reviews, it says the place is immaculate, that we offered, you know, whatever they needed. I was responsive to them and that's all great. But when you get a handwritten note in your guest book, that is like water to my soul, you know, like this last one. Our guest is a cancer patient. She's been going through treatments and she was like, you know, it's a weekend away from cancer. That is winning for me, where our home can be a place of rest and relaxation and to step away from whatever it is, you know, or just to go make some family memories, or that's really the goal of our place for people. And so that has been my most favorite thing, is that little blue guest book that I have out for them.
And I totally agree, because I have gotten many notes from guests, but my favorite is like when the kids write me something.
Yeah.
Like the parent will write something and then below it, it'll be like, hi, my name's Mike and I'm 12. And these were my favorite parts of our trip. And like, they'll name their favorite parts or anything. Like one of the houses has a spiral staircase and a kid left me a note saying like, I had such a great vacation, but my favorite part was the spiral staircase. Like, of course, because you're a kid. So yeah, it's just those little things that you're like, yep, this is why we do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this brings up another, I think, great takeaway for anyone listening, is that if your passion can be about this, about getting that, what can I do to create an experience that people want to leave me a personal note? If you do that, everything else will fall into place, including, you know, money, you know, money will follow that, you know? And I think sometimes people lead with, I need to make X amount of money. And that's, I think, a mistake. I think you have to lead with the hospitality side, and everything else will come. So that's fantastic. And you got your real estate license too, Becky, right?
I did. I did it last March. And so took the classes, took the test. Yep. So I'm licensed. And
was that for any particular reason? Like, was there a purpose?
Yeah. So to be able to manage more properties, you need to be licensed. So you can manage your own property without being licensed, but to manage other people's properties, you actually need to be a broker, but you can be, it takes 2 years to be a broker. So I can be in the process of becoming a broker while managing other people's properties. So I'm under a broker now. And so that's what.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so, but it, so you haven't pushed that yet, right? You don't, you, or have you? Like, I, so talk about that. You want to, you guys want to manage other clients. What does that look like? Do you have a plan for that or?
Yeah. So we haven't pushed it yet, but it's kind of coming to us in a way, if that makes sense. That what I mean by that is we, when we kind of first moved in there, we made, we just connected with our neighbors. They're from Arizona area and stuff. And so I know that they've been with the management company and it's just not worked out like they had hoped. And so they've kind of approached us recently and they're like, hey, you know, are you guys taking on people? You know, can you kind of help us out? So we're, I mean, this is just recently within the last, I mean, I think there was some thoughts maybe for like a month or two, but it's gotten like more serious in the last kind of week or so. So we're trying to think through that and walk through that. We did want to get comfortable with our own first before, I mean, I would say we do, to your point, we really want to create that experience. We want to do things really well. And I would say, really quality is kind of our, like we want to be able to produce a quality experience for the guests, but also for the owner, that they feel like they're getting a tremendous value. And so, you know, we don't feel like we could do that for 10 or 15 people right now, but what we've kind of thought is, hey, let's start small. And then we'll go from there. And I don't know if that kind of answers it a little bit.
Yeah, I just have a follow-up question. So with that said, are you going to be extremely picky on the front end of building your business? Like, do you have a certain home in your mind? Like, you know what I mean? Like up here in the White Mountains, we have, you know, 900 square foot condo or chalet, and then we have a you know, 4,500 square foot house and everything in between, and not any of them look the same, you know. And I don't think it's a mistake what we did, but I think like some people build a business and they go after like luxury, you know, or they go after certain niches within the niche, you know. So
yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Like you want a certain level of property out of the gate, or?
I think so. If I, you know, if we had to really kind of pin it down, I'm probably not. No, we do want a property for ourselves. Like Becky said this, and I agree with her. Like, hey, we'd like to own like a two bedroom or a three bedroom, something where we could offer just like the single family, because our property's kind of, it doesn't really lend itself to that.
And I've received calls like people saying, "Oh, I found your place online. It's so beautiful. Do you have anything smaller?" And unfortunately, I have to say no.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, I think just from kind of the numbers perspective and looking at because the other huge thing that we're really kind of weighing as we do this is really the focus. So we go, hey, what are our goals long term, right? And it's homeschooling our children, right? It's kind of training them and teaching them. And so we want to make sure that we're getting into the right, like management situations where we kind of align with the owners and, you know, the numbers can make sense and it can be mutually beneficial, for both parties. So we're kind of weighing that, but also weighing it in the lens of, hey, what's our actual, you know, we're not ready to go like hire employees and build a business, so to speak, but we do want to start in that direction. So yeah, I would think right now kind of more of the properties in our area, is really what we would feel comfortable, because we know that, right? We like know those bigger houses and how that works and the clientele that you get. So
yeah, that makes sense. So with that said, do you think about long, like a bigger long-term goal? Do you think like, all right, I want to go to 50 houses. I'm just throwing that out as a thought, you know, cause I know, you know, me and Julia have an, it's almost like a daily discussion about numbers on houses. And honestly, what's happening to us now is too many opportunities. You know, like there's, it's like the snowball is going down the hill at a very high velocity. And it's like, so for, I'll give you just an example. So I get a lot of calls where people want to use me as a realtor because of my knowledge about vacation rentals. So then they hire me at that role, but it's almost assumed that I will also be their manager.
Mm.
That makes sense. So then Now you're selling a $500,000 house. I feel a certain obligation to them. And I haven't said no yet, but at some point I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, you know, I can't manage this for you because we have too many. So it sounds to me in what you just said is that you want, and I love it. I think it's, I wish I could have been more like you guys, is that you want a quality business at a smaller number of homes than going to 50 or going to some big number. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's definitely our desire at this point. You know, desires can change over time as you get more comfortable and things, but just where we're at in life and really with the family being as young as it is, that's what we're definitely thinking at this point.
Got something to say, Julia?
I say what they just said literally every day.
And what you couldn't see is her just looking with these like Superman laser beam eyes and nodding her head up and down.
Hilarious. I want to keep it still in the people business, you know.
Yeah, and when you get too big, the people kind of fall away because, you know, you get busy trying to, you know, just keep all the balls or the plates spinning up in the air, and something has to give. And it's, I'd rather have less plates spinning and do an awesome job than have all my plates come crashing down.
I think if there's one thing that I've learned over the last 10 years is, you know, and homeschooling has helped me with this, and that, you know, the great homeschooling mom community that I'm a part of, but being able to say no and realizing and recognizing what are my priorities, realizing, okay, that is actually, I can look ahead and say, you know what, that, I don't think that is going to work. I don't think, you know, the idea of 20 homes right now, you know, just, you know,
you're just mumbling.
I think that is recognizing what my own personal limits are, you know, realizing, okay, the plates that I already do have spinning, it's not like I can take the kids off, you know, they're a big plate and I've got them for a while, you know, and so that's important to me. And being there and present for them is important to me. And so I think, again, just learning to recognize my own limits has been a big deal and freeing. So I just know personally, like, I like control, and I'm a doer. I like to do all the things. Being able to say, okay, this is something that I won't be able to give 100% to, that's pretty freeing, and that's okay.
Yes. Saying no is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. But I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, because I don't mean it the wrong way, but not everyone has that option, I think, at times to when they're starting this, because one, they might need money, you know, and one house, well, one, they might not even own their own property. You know, some people get into our business and they don't own anything. And I think that that's different too. So yeah, I just want listeners to understand, like, you know, every story is different in this
one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I know you weren't saying it that way. I just wanted to, I don't know.
I'm not offended, Pete.
So is the plan, Robert, for you to work till retirement age, or is your thought, like, I get to a certain number, I might walk away? I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Yeah, I haven't given much thought to it yet. I mean, there's just opportunities that always evaluating and stuff. And so do I think the management piece of, like, you know, a nightly rental business, could that be my walk away? Potentially, but it's something that I'm willing to say, hey, let's see how this goes for a year or two. Before I really decide that and see if we like it and have a few people come on and things like that, if that makes sense. I guess I have a good situation. I have a good situation where I'm at right now. So I'm not, you know, not in a rush to really change anything on that front.
Yeah, no, that's great. It takes a lot of pressure off, you know, because then you're, how do I pay for my own health insurance? And, you know,
right.
And then, you know, I don't know, it just takes a lot of the concerns away when you have a steady income coming in. So, okay. So I remember when we first started, you know, becoming a super host, getting 5-star reviews, all that stuff was so, I just felt very critical. Do you guys think about this? Is that on your thoughts? Are you kind of like, if I just do this, we'll be fine and the 5 stars will follow?
Yeah, so I know you guys like to run. So, you know, if you're going to go run your 50-mile race, like, that's your big goal, right? But you have to take it 1 mile at a time. And so that's kind of where my head's at. It's, okay, let's make things really great for this next guest. And then let's make things really great for this next guest. And so we are running the miles, you know, we are getting through this race and doing well. And so I think we'll get there, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we are, you know, I think we're definitely focused on a 5-star review. Like, we want folks to enjoy themselves.
Oh yeah.
And so that's definitely an important piece for us as we're thinking, you know, as we're preparing for guests and, you know, how can we make this a 5-star review? You know, some of the super host things and things like that, I haven't necessarily thought about it as much, but it's kind of like thinking, like, hey, if you do this piece really well, that will follow, like Becky was saying. And so that's, I think that's somewhat where our thoughts are at around kind of reviews and super hosts. And I think it's definitely something we want to get to. But we understand it's one guest at a time.
Yeah.
I was reading I don't know I think it was an article, and it said less than 7% of all hosts are super hosts. And I was like, wow, that's a really small percentage. And
yeah, it is.
I was really taken aback by it because I felt like they give you the answers to the test, you know, like they tell you, this is how you become it. You know, you need a 4.8 overall rating. You need a, you know, 90% response rate, less than a 1% cancellation rate. And I forget what else, there's something else in there, but anywho, they give you the answers, you know, so maybe people just don't, I don't know. Maybe they don't care about it. I don't know.
I think you have to have like 10.
I
think you have to have like 10 stays too, or 10 something. Stays. Like that.
Yeah, you're right. Within that quarter. Yeah.
We're not quite there yet. I think we're at like 6 or 7 with Airbnb, but we should be there by year end.
Yeah,
like,
because future bookings, we've had a mix of Airbnb bookings, verbal bookings, and we've actually recently had direct.
Yeah,
bookings on our website. So
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, that is, you know, there's debate out in the world of our world about, you know, you should be all, you know, on all platforms. And there are some debates that says, no, you should just focus on one or two platforms. And then there's, or you shouldn't be on any platforms. You just go direct booking. So yeah, there's, again, that just tells me there's so many different ways to do this. But yeah. And you know, we talk Airbnb, but it's really, it's not, it's vacation rental business. It's not, it's kind of like Kleenex, you know, they've become the name for a tissue. So if you guys could rewind the clock and go back in time, is there anything that you would change as part of your process that you, of where you started?
Does that make sense? I was kind of talking with Becky about this the other night. Probably something I would do different in the beginning, and it's because we did have a little bit more lead time, is I would have posted. I was so concerned about, hey, I can't post the house until, you know, everything's finished.
Right, the under construction pictures.
Under construction pictures and stuff like that. And I think in hindsight, you know, I've seen some other people and they kind of, you know, they'll post one or two pictures of the outside and maybe some attractions in the area and stuff, but at least they're up and they're available for bookings, right? And so in hindsight, I think what I would do differently is I would get it up quicker to be available for bookings by the, because I think we got to it and maybe we had like a week or two before we were ready for, maybe like 2 weeks before we were ready to kind of take on customers. And it worked out, you know, thankfully, because just because it was summertime, it was peak season, you know, but I think in hindsight that I would definitely do that more ahead of time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And bang, just like that, we're at an hour. How about that? I feel like we just started talking. I have a couple more and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
So if you were going to talk to someone who was thinking about doing this, just starting in their own business of a vacation rental, and they wanted to just do it the way you're doing it, what advice would you give them?
I for sure would say go for it. I've enjoyed the process for sure. I would say, you know, what I would ask them, what are your goals? Like, what are your plans? What do you kind of get your ducks in a row? You know, how do you want it to look? What's the feel or the vibe that you want to give people when they enter your home? What do you want them to walk away with? Kind of, Bobby's probably gonna, you know, say like all the nitty gritty technical stuff, but I, you know, the guest experience is, what is it that you want your guests to, like I said, to take away? Because I think that piece for me, you know, as I'm, that's the piece that I think about most, is how do I give my guests the best experience ever? And there are details that, as far as, and my husband, you know, figured all that stuff out as far as taxes and organizing all that stuff, but I would definitely encourage people to do it. But I would ask them questions of, okay, what is your goal? You know, what is your desire?
Yeah, that's a great answer. Robert, anything to add, or is that good?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I think it can definitely be an awesome opportunity. Like anything, you know, you want to run the numbers, you want to kind of lay out, hey, what's your plan? What do you want to achieve? You know, and does that whole thing work? Because you don't want to sign up for something that, you know, that in hindsight, you get 6 months down the road and you're like, oh man, I didn't know it was going to be like this, or this is a grind, or this is tough, but it can be awesome too at the same time. So just go in with a plan, you know, kind of know, have some goals, like Becky said, what you want to do, your why behind it. And it can be a phenomenal thing. And that's what I love about it, right? Because, you know, Becky as a mom of four and myself, we're able to do something like this, and it'd be a good thing for us and the family. So I know that to be the case for others too.
Yeah, I think if you were to tell me 18 months ago that we would be doing this, I probably would have laughed at you. Really? Like, it was just, it really was not I mean, like I previously you said, you know, we've been kind of occasionally looking, had our eyes open, but to really jump in, dive in and take it on and live it, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think Julia and I could say the same thing. We might have to go back to like 36 months, but if you were to say like, oh yeah, we're going to be living in the White Mountains, managing 36 properties and growing, you're crazy. I'm doing something different. So, so what's next for you guys? You know, I know we talked about goals a little bit, but is it to buy another one? Is it to get your first client? What's next for you guys?
I think my next is different than Bobby's next, but my next would be to find a cleaning company that I can rely on and that's solid, you know, and giving that piece up. But yeah, I think probably what would be next would be taking on another client. You know, I'm a realtor, as you mentioned, so I've, you know, getting ready to put one of these vacation homes in our subdivision up for sale. And so that's kind of a next thing for me too. And so,
Yeah. I think we do want to own as well where it makes sense, you know, something where we'll look for something smaller and, you know, something, if a new construction popped up again, where the numbers make sense, we would be open to that as well. The numbers are starting to make less and less sense as the market grows, but we're definitely open to it if it's the right place and the right location.
Yeah, is your market crazy as it is here?
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Yeah. So our place now, it would be like 100% more than what we paid for it, you know, just a year. Fast. So it's pretty insane.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel like something has to give at some point.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like this forever, obviously. So what's going to cause it? I don't know. And I don't know when. If I knew that, I'd be richer. So so how can someone who's listening get in touch with you if they wanted to, and definitely Becky as a realtor, like if I wanted to invest in Branson or the surrounding areas, I'd want you to be my realtor since you know the market, or just to follow along on your journey. How what's the best way? I know you talked about a website.
Yeah. So our website is BransonVacationRent.com.
That's a nice URL.
Thank you. My husband found that. And so that will be our property management site. So we have our one property on there right now. But as we grow, like we've set it up so we could take on more properties. So BransonVacationRent.com is where you can see our property. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at bookings@BransonVacationRent.com. And then, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but you can pass out my phone number, Pete, if anyone wants to get in touch and buy a property and do that. That's good too. So.
All right. That's awesome. I'll put that in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess one last thing, is there anything that we didn't talk about or you didn't say that you feel like you want to share, or are we good? Did we get it all?
I think you got it all. It's been really fun. And, you know, your podcast, Pete, was super helpful. And, you know, getting started and kind of navigating. I know, Julia, there was one you talked about linens or, you know, all like those details. Like that was helpful for me to listen to. So I appreciate what you guys are doing and just helping us newbies kind of get going and step on the right path. And yeah, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the learning curve would have been a lot harsher had I not kind of plugged into to some of your insights there. So I do appreciate that, Pete, Julia.
Yeah, we had a couple, you know, one-on-one calls because you guys are friends. And I think that's always good if you can get someone to talk to you, you know, someone that's gone before you, it always helps. So we appreciate that. It gives us motivation to keep doing it, because during the summer, we didn't record at all because we were just and we're busy, you know, so now that it's kind of slightly calmed down, we're back. So we appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks very much. And we'll have to catch up with you maybe 6 months down the road to see where you're at.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for having us on, guys. It was great talking with you.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day. Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Bye.